Father, I thank you, Lord. As always, the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. Grant that light to shine upon our hearts, even in and through us. The power of God revealed as we read through this word, this declaration of faith from David in the Psalms. And we thank you. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we'll be reading through Psalm 18, powerful psalm, and we're titling today as Praise. That's right. Praise. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 9 that we are called to be a different kind of priesthood. Not the one that's always coming and praying about sins and offering sins, sacrifice, and so on and so forth. But one that is called to show forth his praises. And that's what we are called to be. A different kind of priesthood. Show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, that's the garment of priesthood that is upon us at this time. Show forth his praises. So we must do more in praising the Lord from time to time. And today, well, let's read through this psalm. We title this as Praise. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my shield, and my deliverer. Hallelujah. No one does it better than David in that Bible. Call out the greatness of the Lord and the attributes of God. And we're told that this song that he sang, these words, he wrote and sang it in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and even out of the hand of Saul. You know, because, you know, Saul, you know how Saul persecuted him from place to place, you know, tried to kill him, you know, and so forth. The anointing that was upon David aggravated, you know, the evil that was in Saul. And an evil spirit came upon him. Always wanting to kill David, chasing him over the place, throwing javelins, spears, and different things, and pursuing from place to place. But finally, the Lord gave David the victory. And he said, in the words of this Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I would trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, look at all the, you know, packed in two verses. Got all the things he's already said about the Lord. Right away, call the Lord, you know, his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. You know, I mean, said the Lord is my buckler, the horn of my salvation and the power of my salvation. My high tower. And he knows how to praise the Lord. And he poured out his heart, said, Lord, I will love you, you know, because of all these great things that you've done for me. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, that's a secret right there, you know, in how to be saved from your troubles is to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. But call in faith and confidence. He says, the sorrows of death compass me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Well, you know, so, you know, it's okay to, you know, be honest about being afraid, especially when you are before the Lord. You know, psalmist, this same psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, what time I am, you know, have fear in my heart. I will look towards your word. And I will look towards, you know, the goodness of the Lord. So what time, any time that you're afraid, well, in his word, you will trust. And this man, he knew how to call out the words of God. The sorrows of death compass me in the floods of ungodly men. But when I call upon the Lord, he said, that's how I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of hell, he said, even compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. But in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and his You know, he said, my cry came before him. It went into his ears. Now, this man, you know, he was confident in his prayers. He knew that he could call upon the Lord. He knew that the Lord was going to hear him. He would always go to the Lord in his distress and in his troubles. You know, and sometimes he would be afraid and so forth. Well, so, you know, he turned unto the Lord. And, you know, he didn't let his fear drive him away from God. He let his fear drive him towards the Lord. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing that we must do. You know, when you are afraid of situation, you know, the Lord already knew that there will be times that we will be afraid. You know, that's why he said, fear not. If there was never a time that we would be afraid, there would be no need for him to continually say, fear not. You know, so he knows that we could be afraid. In Psalm 56, you know, and verse 3, he talked about, you know, any time that he is afraid. He said, whatever time that I'm afraid, well, what am I going to do? Well, let's see what he said that he's going to do when he's afraid. You know, he said, what time I'm afraid, any time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear. And so he encouraged himself. You know, yeah, you know, when you're afraid, yeah, tell yourself that, look, I'm not going to be afraid of what flesh can do unto me. That's how you build up yourself. You say, well, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. You know, whenever I'm afraid, I will look to his word. In his word will I praise him. In God will I praise his word. Praise God. He knew how to trust the word of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord has come to us multiple times to strengthen us, to encourage us for now and for the future. Well, trust in that word. Trust in that word. And, you know, at different times, that fear of the unknown, fear of pressure around us and different things may happen to us. Let's trust in the Lord. You know, he said, when I cried unto the Lord, he heard my cry. My cry came before him, even into his ears. But let's see God's response to David's prayer. I always love this part, and I've spoken about it multiple times, and I always love to speak about it. You know, and I'm like, you know, the way I ask the question is, can your prayer get this reaction from God? You know, can your prayer do this? Do you have this kind of power with God that will make God to respond to your prayer in such a manner? Well, let's see how God responded to David's prayer. He said, the earth shook and trembled. My goodness. If one person can pray, call upon the name of the Lord and cause the earth to shake and tremble, and that's some power with God. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because the Lord was wroth. Now the Lord became angry, you know, on the behalf of David. Not exactly angry at David, but angry on behalf of David concerning the things that pitted themselves against him. You know, that went out a smoke out of his nostrils. Fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. You know, because this man prayed. You know, let's take a look at that. Can your prayer do this? Can my prayer do this? Well, yeah. You know, if you pour out your heart unto it, I mean, you know, pour out your heart, you trust the Lord, you cry unto the Lord can respond in the same way for you as he responded for David. He said he bowed the heavens also and came down. My goodness, this man can actually cause God to move. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And David saw visions. You know, the Lord would reveal to him the things, you know, going on in the spirit. And he began to write it out, call it out, sing it, praise the Lord with it. He said, the Lord rode upon a cherub, and he flew. He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. Well, That's because people can't look. You know, if you really look, you'll see the Lord, but people can't look. You know, when they look, they don't see anything because their eyes are blinded. You know, and his pavilion round about him. He said there were dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. You know, it seemed as if, you know, the Lord is hidden, but he's not. You know, at the brightness that was before him. So both brightness and, you know, these thick clouds and so forth. To some people, it's like thick darkness. Solomon, when he was praying, said, I have said that you will dwell in the thick darkness. Well, it only looks like thick darkness to somebody who can see through it. He actually dwells in light, which no man can approach unto. So to some, it will be thick darkness because they can't penetrate. To others, it's like brilliant light, power, you know. I mean, just rays of light, fire, lightnings, thunderings, everything going on around. Lightning is never dark. Lightning is always bright, you know. But, you know, so some over here, I mean, it's like, my goodness, God is behind the thick darkness. Well, thick darkness is what separates us if we don't know how to penetrate. But if you can look and get behind all of that, you can see the glory of God. Our God will give grace and glory, he said. Praise the Lord. He said the Lord, you know, he thundered from heavens. The brightness that was before him was as thick clouds that passed, even hailstones and coals of fire. I mean, look, all these phenomena that he's describing here, this is just incredible. If one person can pray and cause all these things to happen, I mean, just think about it. Praise God. The power we got. I mean, he can pray. The Lord thundered from the heavens in response to David's prayer. The highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Huh? Glory to God. He said, look. Channels of water were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. You know, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above and he took me. All of this was just so that the Lord can draw him out of the waters that were trying to overwhelm him. And the Lord, you know, the Lord, he likes to make an entrance. The Lord makes an entrance. Praise God, you know. Sometimes he comes in the pillar of fire. Sometimes he comes in the cloudy pillar. Sometimes his eyes are like brazen, you know, I mean, fire. Sometimes his feet are like burning brass. Sometimes his voice is like thunders. I mean, that's the kind of entrance that our God can make. Hallelujah. I mean, if you can open your eyes, sometimes the Lord can show these things. I mean, Ezekiel was a man that was used to seeing the wheels and wheels of fire. He would see the Lord, you know, fire and different things. And he saw visions of glory. I mean, he saw the Lord. I saw tremendous attributes of God. He saw things flashing, going back and forth. The cherubims, the seraphims, you know, just flashing back and forth. It was just all kinds of activity going on around the Lord. Well, the Lord's entourage is always great. One time in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw, you know. Let's pray that the Lord will open our eyes to see these things. Hallelujah. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, and I will show you great and mighty things which you have not known. Isaiah, he said, in the year in which King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Mota Shebarusanika. Can we see the Lord? He said, look, I saw the Lord. Sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, Isaiah chapter 6, and his train. You know, God never goes, you know, without, you know, leaving an impact. Hallelujah. And when he comes, glory to God, my goodness, his train filled the temple. It was like everything, you know, he had this, you know, attendance and things that followed him, things that issued before him, things that followed after him. I mean, lightnings and thunderings, stream of fire, voices of thunderings and things. This was the reason why the children of Israel couldn't do it. They said, we can't endure that. Well, yeah, because they have not been used to coming into his presence. You know, if you don't come into his presence, if you don't long for it, You know, I mean, you know, people will run from his presence. You know, most people will be scared and run away, you know, from the presence of the Lord. You know, I would die to get into that presence. I want that presence. Hallelujah. I'm not going to run from it. Glory to God. But you know, our sin nature will make us quake and shake before the Lord. But yeah, you know, for a moment, but then you can gather yourself. Gather yourself and come, because the Lord will say, fear not. I am Alpha and Omega. Even John, on the Isle of Patmos, when the Lord came to him, he fell at his feet as dead. This was the same John that liked to just say, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved, or I'm the one sitting closest to him at dinner, and, you know, and all of these things. You know, they like to say that, you know, and I know kids, they love to do that, you know, sit right next to their mom and so on and so forth, and fight over who's going to sit next. And, you know, John used to think of himself as the favorite disciple. Well, that's okay. But all of that, you know, was out the door when the Lord came in his glory. When the Lord came with burning eyes and flame of fire and thunders and things like that, his feet like burning brass, his voice like deep waters and thunders. He fell at his feet as dead. You know, but the Lord said, that's cool. That's okay. You know, touch his hand. I mean, put his hand on his shoulder and say, I am Alpha and Omega. Ooh. You know, I mean, if you can experience that, you will be changed. That's right. I'm going to be talking, you know, in a little bit. I think I'll do it sometime soon. I'll be talking about, you know, transformation. Let me say it to you right now. Transformation starts with God's visitation. He can't do it. You cannot do it any other way. You cannot be transformed unless you encounter God in a different way. The way you are in now is the way you will remain until you get a different kind of encounter. That's what brings transformation. And all these people in the Bible, you know, this is something different happened to them when they experienced God in a different way. Isaiah, he said, look, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, my eyes have seen his glory. Look, I don't care who or what you think you know or have. When he comes to you in this way, you're going to think you're nothing. But then he'll strengthen you right away because he doesn't want you to be afraid. It's just that our human nature gets scared when you see God in his real glory. But he'll come to you right away and say, fear not. Come on in. Praise God. You know, the Lord, he wants us to experience this stuff. In Matthew chapter 17, he took, you know, three of his disciples one day and wanted to show them something. You know, because they hadn't seen that side of him. They've heard the sermons, they've heard the teachings and different things, and he wanted to show them something. And he was transfigured. Now, Christ doesn't go through transformation. That's for us. You know, Christ doesn't need to be, you know, transformed as a process. He was already there. He was just transfigured. You know, something was unveiled. You know, now we must be transformed before we can get into that place of transfiguration. We'll be speaking more about that. But, you know, Christ, he pulled something back. And they saw something and said, my goodness, I don't want to leave, Peter said. I just want to stay right here. And the Lord said, well, we got work to do yet. You know, that's just a sneak preview. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what God wants us to become, to be like the Christ, you know, transforming us, you know, through the cleansing and the washing of water by his word, bringing us in that place. You know, but all these attributes that God will show from time to time, when these people will see him, it changes their lives. He said, look, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord said, well, don't worry about it. You know, sent one of the seraphims, took, you know, something, live coal from the altar and touched his lips. I call that the Holy Ghost branding. That's right. You know how cattle ranchers, they put that hot iron that they take from the coals of fire and they brand the cattle. My goodness. Holy Ghost branding. Well, that's why the Lord, you know, when people first receive the Holy Spirit, they begin to burst forth in tongues and so forth. If it's, you know, if they truly receive the Holy Spirit, you know, they begin to burst forth in tongues and so forth. Holy Ghost branding that tongue, you know, trying to, you know, put a branding on that tongue. That's right. You know, says that a man that will be perfect in his ways. Well, look at this man that will not offend in word. The same man, he will be perfect in his ways. That deadly tongue, Holy Spirit is the one that can bridle it. Praise God. And he shows us an example, you know, when he gives us the ability to communicate in unknown tongues and so forth, takes over that thing. And look, they begin to experience his presence. They see these things. David, he saw it. He experienced it. He said, look at all the things the Lord did for me as a result of my prayers. You know, David wasn't bragging about it. He was just reporting it. That's exactly what happened. He was just reporting what happened. And sometimes when you report something, some people think you're bragging. You know, Jesus said it like it is. He said, look, I am from above. Ye are from beneath. That's right. He just said it the way he was. Was he proud? Was he bragging? No, he was just saying it the way it is. You know, I am from above. Ye are from beneath. You know, just call it out the way it is. And this man, David, was calling out the way it is. This was what he saw. In fact, he said, the humble will hear thereof and will be glad. The Lord sent forth his lightnings, discomfited them. Channels of waters were seen. Foundations of the world were discovered. The rebuke of the Lord. The blast of the breath of his nostrils. The Lord sent from above and he took me. And these are all the things the Lord can do for you when you cry out to him. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that which hated me and they was too strong for me. The Lord, he said, delivered me in the day of my calamity. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also out into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. That's it. Now, blessed is the man in whom the Lord delights. Praise the Lord. The person in whom the Lord delights. When the Lord delights in you, he can do anything just for you. Hallelujah. You know, now one time there was a king that said, look, what shall I do to the one in whom the king delights? And I want to, you know, do something good for him. You know, and Haman thought it was him. He said, well, this is what you will do. You will do this. You will do that. You will do that. You will do that. And Lord said, the king said, cool. You go and do that to Mordecai. This is the man in whom the king delights and wants to promote. See, when the Lord delights in you, he can do anything for you. I mean, the Lord delighted in David. You know, the Lord, he chose David even when David didn't know anything about it. This is how God works. You know, it's not the person that goes to promote himself, you know, that the Lord chooses. The Lord chooses, you know, I mean, when Samuel was sent to go and anoint one of the sons of Jesse, David was not even invited, you know. And they brought the lanky ones, you know, Eliab and his brothers. They were trained military, you know, people and so forth, strong in battle, fit for the kingdom, you know, and all that. You know, but God looked at each one of them and said, no, I have rejected him. And Samuel was wondering, this man looks good. He's tall and he's lanky and he's handsome and he's skilled. And the Lord said, no, I reject him because you are looking after the outward appearance. But I'm looking at the heart. Glory to God. I'm looking at the heart. And he said, well, there's yet. And so Samuel said, well, is there yet someone besides? Because the Lord has, you brought all these your sons. And the Lord said, no. And so there must be somebody else. And see, the Lord didn't exactly tell Samuel. And the man said, oh yeah, there's the little David, but he doesn't care about anything but the sheep. And he's out there in the bush somewhere playing his music and doing stuff with the sheep. Samuel said, well, nobody's going anywhere until you bring him. Go and fetch him. And then they fetched him. He was the anointed one. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. When the Lord delights in you, he can choose you when everybody else, you know, rejected you. I mean, David was despised and rejected. He was not even invited. but yet he was the one in whom the Lord delighted. And there was something in him that the Lord knew, you know, that made the Lord to delight in him. Even when, you know, because even by that time, David was, he loved to just, you know, praise the Lord. He just loved to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He just was by himself, just loved to praise the Lord, loved to do these things. And the Lord delighted in the man, and the Lord chose him. Now, I mean, David was not necessarily perfect. I mean, he saw the things that he did, but the Lord called him blameless. See, the thing is this, when the Lord has dealt with the sin in your life, you become blameless. You may not be exactly perfect, but blameless. Praise God. The Lord dealt with the blame, and he dealt with it, and that's it. And it's done. It's over. It's people that are still thinking about that. But as far as God is concerned, it's over. Same thing. Jesus dealt with the blame in our lives on the cross. It's over. Done. Ha! Glory to God. Now, I stand clean before the Lord. That's right. You know, clean before my Lord I stand. Because the Lord has called me blameless. He has now called me, you know, his son, chosen. He had delighted in me. You know, do you see yourself as the Lord's delight? That's David. He knew it. He thought of himself as the Lord's delight. He said, the Lord delighted in me. You know, I mean, John thought he was Christ's favorite. You know, these people, they think of themselves, you know, as the Lord's delight. Look, the Lord delights in me, he said. Yeah, because they spend time in his presence. They feel, you know, the closeness of the Lord. So it makes them think that they're God's favorite. Yeah, but you can be too. You spend time in his presence. You know, the Lord said, look, leave all of that. Come sit with me. Come spend time with me. You know, Mary's just sat down there, you know, and her delight was to hear the word of God. And said, this is the master. I mean, he's always telling us those parables and stuff. Well, tell us some more stuff, you know. Meanwhile, Martha's running around, you know, trying to serve and cook and gather refreshments and so, which is a good thing too. I mean, she's being hospitable and so. But this woman, Mary, she just sat down. Ah, you know, I want to hear some more of that stuff, you know. And then well, the master was giving it to her. And Martha comes around and says, well, you know, master, look at me. I'm running around doing all these things. Bid my sister come and help me. And the Lord, he's straightening her out. You know, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered with so many things, running around and doing this stuff. But this, your sister right here, she has chosen the one needful thing. And that will not be taken from her. The one needful thing was she sat down right there at the feet of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no better place to be. When you spend time alone with the Lord, that's how you develop that closer relationship. And you know, you can begin to feel that the Lord delights in you. You know, David, he knew it, said the Lord, he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me also according to my righteousness. And that's another thing. You know, Hezekiah, that's a prayer he prayed. When Isaiah came and told him, set your house in order. You know, because this is your sickness. You will not recover from it. Thus saith the Lord, you shall surely die. But you have an opportunity to set your house in order right now. And put things, you know, set your estate, do everything. Make sure everything is good because you will not recover from this sickness. What was the prayer that Hezekiah prayed? You know, he prayed about his righteousness. That's right. You know, that's what the Lord said. In Isaiah 43 and verse 26, he said, look, declare your cause. Let us plead together. Put me in remembrance. And this Hezekiah man, he said, Lord, you know how I have walked before you with a perfect heart. That's right. And you can't tell the Lord anything that he doesn't already know. So you can't say something that is not. This man, he walked before the Lord and he cried to the Lord. He said, I've walked in the integrity of my heart before the Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, you have too. Praise God. And the Lord turned that thing around quick, so quick. You know, even Isaiah was baffled. You know, before he left, he delivered that word and walked out, you know, and was leaving. You know, and before he got out completely through the court, the word of the Lord came to him and said, go back and tell this man, I've heard his prayer. Because the man, he was not bewildered and, you know, sank into depression. He just went to the Lord. What time am I afraid of this evil report that has come that I would die? In the Lord's word will I praise him. and I will turn to him in my righteousness. I will declare my cause before the Lord. And he did. And he declared his cause. And he said, Lord, I've walked in the integrity of my heart. You know, and the Lord said, sure you did. And the Lord added to him 15 years. You know the story. You know, so this man, he said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. You know, he had opportunity two times at least to take the life of Saul, and he didn't. And the man was pursuing him, trying to kill him from, you know, pillar to post everywhere. And the Lord delivered him into his, you know, Saul into his hands at least twice. And even the people that are around David, they said, look, today is the day of victory. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Go up at once and slay him and put an end to this, you know, crisis in your life. You know, and the man said, I will do no such thing. I will do no such thing. He is the Lord's anointed. See, now there is something about David. You know, David wasn't even competing with Saul. You know, the Lord had already anointed David to be the king, but David, you know, he gave place. He said, this man that is on the throne right now, he is the Lord's anointed. No matter what anybody else thinks about him, no matter what he's doing, he is still the Lord's anointed, because Samuel poured the oil upon Saul's head. That's right. That makes him the Lord's anointed. And touch not my anointed. Don't do it. You know, now, some people don't respect the anointing of the Lord on their leaders, you know, because they don't like them. But maybe they're not anointed. But if they were anointed, you better stay away. David knew it. And he said, look, I will do no such thing. And the people were urging him. Look, we don't need to be running from place to place. Look at the man. God had put a deep sleep upon him. Just go there and strike him at once and be done with this thing. You know, and then you can ascend and take the throne. I will do no such thing. He is the Lord's anointed. Thank you, Jesus. The cleanness of my hands. Lord, you know, David said, look, his time will come. You know, maybe he'll fall in battle. Maybe the Lord will do something. But I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. I won't do it. You know, but it took a little, you know, token to make Saul know that he came this close to taking his life. And then Saul said, you know, who art thou, my son? He said, well, I'm David. You know, persecuting me. What have I done to you? You know, look at you. Look at me. The Lord had put you in my, you know, sights today. I could have killed you. You know, and so forth. And David even rebuked the secret service that was supposed to be protecting the man. He said, why in the world would you be sleeping and not watching your Lord, your king? You're supposed to, you know, be there to keep him from evil. But yet, I came this close to killing him, and you guys were asleep. You know, you all should be fired. You know, I mean, David was, I mean, I don't know who else will be doing it. It was even fighting for Saul, I mean, rebuking the keepers that should have been keeping Saul and saying, look, you people should have kept the Lord, your king, but you did it. And I came this close to killing him. And yeah, that was the cleanness of his hands. You know, who shall ascend into the hill of the Almighty? Huh? He that has a pure heart and clean hands. You will not put your hand into anything. Look, don't put your hand into anything. Number one, you know, don't put your hand upon anybody to say evil. Speak evil of no man. Do evil to no person. That's how you have clean hands. And think no evil in your heart against anyone. You know, even if they are not doing well to you, Jesus said, even those that persecute you, you know, like Saul was persecuting David all over the place, trying to kill him. Even those that persecute you, pray for them, bless them. Ah, you know, can you really do that? You know, I mean, people are making your life difficult and miserable and so forth. You know, can you really pray for them? Can you bless them? And you bless those that despitefully use you. Well, if you can, well, you will be before the Lord as someone that has clean hands and a pure heart. And the Lord will reward you. He said, I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. You know, he read, you can read the writing that he wrote in Psalm 119, all the things, how he called out the word of God, how the statutes of God, the law and the testimonies were always in his heart, you know, and even acknowledged his sin. He said, look, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray, you know. So whenever, anytime I go astray, that's when I'm afflicted, but I will return to the word of the Lord. He always knew where to go and where to come back to. He said, look, you know, the Lord has been with me. His judgments were before me. I did not put away his statutes, you know, even when he was at fault, recognized and returned to the Lord. I was also upright before him and I kept myself from my iniquity. That's right. Don't do it again. And the Lord says, go and sin no more. So don't do it again. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanness of my hands, even in his eyesight. My goodness. You know, look at all the things that the Lord did for him because he walked in the integrity of his heart before the Lord. You know, but, you know, when he departed from the Lord's ways and he did a wicked thing, the Lord dealt with that also. That's right. The Lord dealt with it, but he repented. And he said, the Lord, you know, dealt with me according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Didn't the Lord Jesus even say that? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. You know, when you deal uprightly, the Lord will cause people to deal uprightly with you as well. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. But with the froward, I mean, if you're always, you know, putting yourself in places where it doesn't belong, well, stuff will happen to you too that doesn't belong, shouldn't belong to you. You know, keep thyself pure. You know, even Paul told Timothy, he said, look, keep yourself pure. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Don't be involved with other people's matters. Stay in the integrity of your heart. Keep yourself pure. Don't put your hands in anything that doesn't concern you. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, when you do these things, he said, the Lord will be a keeper unto your soul. The Lord will keep you. Don't be a partaker of other people's sins. You can read that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Keep yourself pure. Don't be a partaker of other people's stuff, you know, and separate yourself in the integrity of your heart and the Lord will bless you. And the psalmist, you know, the things that he said here, I can't finish the reading of this psalm today because I want to pray over the room. I'm going to just leave it here, come back and finish the rest of it tomorrow by the grace of God. But I want to call out a few things that we have seen here so far. You know, he said, the Lord will show himself pure unto you. You know, the Lord will save the afflicted people. He will even bring down high looks. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to leave it there. Just half of it that I will read. We'll read the remaining half tomorrow. But I want to review some of these things, powerful things, you know, that we want to review. I'll just read the next two verses and we'll call it even for today. For thou, O Lord, will light my candle. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. Now, you know, this David man, he knew how to rejoice in the light of the Lord. You know, there's something he said here in Psalm 36. I mean, listen to what he said in Psalm 36. He said, look, in thy light we shall see light. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light we will see light. He knew, you know, how to walk in the light. And he knew how the Lord will lighten his darkness. He said, the Lord's light. In his light I will see light. As long as I'm walking in the light. And, you know, Jesus, he said something profound. In the book of John, chapter 10, it was talking about, you know, how many hours are really in the day, Jesus asked. He said, look, are there not 12 hours in the day? You know, they count the day from, you know, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Are there not, 12 hours in the day, Jesus said? He said, well, then what you do is, you walk while there are daytime. Let's read it in John chapter 11. He asked them in verse 9, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. And Jesus is talking about light, and also darkness. He said, but if a man walk in the night, which is darkness, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. Now, this is a profound statement upon which the Lord began to reveal something to me, that developed into the light and darkness series, which I've taught, and I will teach again soon in this room. He said, look, everybody can see the light of this world during the daytime. Everybody. You don't need a flashlight in the afternoon when you're outdoors. You don't need that, because you can see the light of the world, basically. The light of this world. You notice how Jesus put it. The light of this world. It's a different category of light. But there's another kind of light that Jesus was talking about here. He said, look, those that walk in the night that stumble, the reason they stumble is not because they don't see the light of this world, but they stumble because there's no light inside of them. And this is a tremendous statement that Jesus made, that's so profound. You have the light of the world, the sun and these things and so forth, and that makes you walk in the day. But in the night, it's not your flashlight, it's not your headlamps, it's not your electric bulb, it's not any of these things that give you light. It's the light inside of you. Hallelujah. That means, according to the words of Isaiah, chapter 60, where it talks about gross darkness will be in the world. Yeah, gross darkness will be all around you, especially at the end of the age, such as this. But inside of you, there will be a light shining. Arise, he said, and shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Why does darkness cover the earth? Because the light, their light is withdrawn. So darkness. But your light that's inside you can never be withdrawn. It's inside of you. It's not light outside. The light outside may be withdrawn. The clouds may cover the sun. The day may shift. The rotation of the earth may shift and it becomes dark and so on. Comes nighttime. But inside of you, whether it's nighttime or not, there's always light. It is the light that is inside of you that will make you to not stumble in the dark. Hallelujah. Powerful stuff. And David knew it. He said, look, in thy light, I will see light. Talk about some power that David would have, and how the things that he would say here. We'll read that last statement. And we'll close with that for today. How David strengthened himself in the Lord and the kind of courage that he had, the kind of power that he had. Let's read it in verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over walls and a wall. And people hang around David long enough, they become David's mighty men as well. Someday we will share the story of his mighty men. They run through troops just like him. One man can go down and fight against 800. One man can go down and take a giant. Another one can fight against a lion. All these things. They can do all those same things that David did. They were called David's mighty men. And David said, by my God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I lived over a wall. And I love this lesson, this last verse here. And we'll close on that. I'm going to pray that God will strengthen you to be able to run through troops and leap over walls. That's right. Nothing will stand before. Look, whether it's a troop or not, David didn't care. In Psalm 27, he said, look, I don't care. You know, they come up against me, they'll fall, you know, and all these things, you know. And he talked about it. He said, look, when they come against me, they fall. I can run through troops. I can leap over walls. I can do all these things, you know. In other places, he said, look, they may compass me about like bees, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. You know, it didn't matter to the David whether, you know, they were one or many. It didn't matter whether it were many nations that gathered against him. You know, it didn't matter whether it was few or many. But he said, in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. He said that in Psalm 118, you know, verse 12 and so on. Gathered around me, surround me like bees, nations surround me and so forth. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. Now, what is that barricade or barrier that's keeping you from getting to your intended destination? Could be troops, could be a wall, it could be a roadblock, could be anything. You know, are you going to let the roadblock keep you from getting to where you're going? I mean, consider this, that you're going somewhere, you need to get somewhere. You probably need to go, you know, to work, or you got to go catch a flight. And then you get down the road and you see a roadblock. Are you going to stay there and not proceed? Or are you even going to turn back and say there's a roadblock? Nobody does any such thing. People will find another way. They take a detour. You know, sometimes the construction crew will even advise you of a, you know, another direction you can take. But whether they give you instruction of where to go through a detour or not, you are going to find another way to get to where you're going. Because where you're going is important to you. You're not going to let some constructions or roadwork block you from getting there. Well, in the same way in our lives, why do we then let some roadblock, you know, discourage us? You know, people, we find roadblocks all the time. And some people give up when they see roadblocks. Why? You don't do that when you're on the road. Why should you do it on your journey of life? Run through the troops. Get around it somehow. Bulldoze it down or whatever. It doesn't matter. Get around it somehow. Find another way. It may be illegal for you to run through a barricade, you know. You might get a ticket if you do that. But the point is this. Don't let the thing keep you from going to where you are going. And you know, David said, look, troops, I run through them. You know, some of David's mighty men, they broke through troops to go get him a jar of water. And one day David said, oh, how I thirst for water from my land and so forth. And they ran through the garrison of the Philippines and got him the water. Of course, he said, well, my goodness, I don't think I can drink this because you guys put your lives at jeopardy. But, you know, they ran through troops just like David. They leaped over walls. They don't do any of these things. Nothing's going to hold them back. Praise the Lord. Now, all of the things that the devil tries to put against us. And since this year, we've had multiple things thrown at us from different directions. For the which God promised us rest. And just because God promised us rest, it doesn't mean that devil's not going to throw anything. He's going to throw more things. You know, but this time around, it's going to be like water falling off the back of the duck. You know, you just shake it up. Hallelujah. And you keep going. Because God promised us rest. And so, let us learn to turn to the Lord with our prayers like David did. Father, I pray over your children in the room today that we will learn like David did, call upon the Lord in our distress, and that we will get the same kind of response, you know, as we spend time in his presence. David spent enough time in his presence that made him to know and have confidence that the Lord will hear him. And of course, the Lord did. He thundered from the heavens. Coals of fire were kindled before him. Speak with a voice that caused even the calves to hind immediately. You know, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the voice of the Lord that is with us. Breaks the cedars. Can do all these things for us. Go before us. Thank you for the angel of the Lord that encamps around your people to give us deliverance from all our fears and to keep us from evil. And thank you, Lord, for strengthening our hands. David said, the Lord strengthened my hands. You know, I can beat my hands, you know, break a bow of steel. My goodness, I can do these things. I can run through troops, leap over walls, break a bow of steel. My hands can fight, my fingers, you know, war and all this stuff. I was a man of war, and he knew how to do it. We are praising the Lord. And Lord, we praise you, who are our God, our rock, our shield, and our deliverer, even on this day. You are our deliverer, Lord. Deliver us from every evil work. Say, my God shall deliver me from every evil work. Hallelujah. And he shall preserve my soul unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be praise and glory forever. I pray, Lord, that you are the shield of your people. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says, our God is a sun and a shield to his people. And no good thing will he withhold from them that love him and trust him. The Lord be a shield around you in Jesus' name. The Lord is your rock. Hallelujah. He's your shield and he's your protector. He is your deliverer. He will deliver you according to the words of 2 Timothy 4 and 18. He will deliver you from every evil work. And he will preserve you blameless in the name of Jesus. So therefore, it is time to praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord, for all the promises of God. They are yea in Christ, and in him they are amen for us. We thank you, Lord, because you have promised these things. And we know that the Lord is good with his word. Whatever the Lord said shall be forever. Whatever he doeth also shall be forever. The Lord will do it so that we will praise his name. Praise the Lord. Now, the God of peace himself, according to Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. The Lord will bruise his head again and again under your feet. This month will give you rest. And this day be the beginning of months unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins, just like you did for David. You know, it was not a man that was perfect. But he knew where to go when he had sinned. He went right back to the Lord. He said, Lord, let me fall into your hands rather than the hands of a man. For the Lord is merciful and he will repent him of evil. And he will have mercy upon my soul. And yes, you did exactly that. You dealt with the sin. And you pulled him out of that. And Lord, we thank you that you have delivered our souls also from darkness and you have brought us into the light. May that light continue to shine upon us. And strengthen everyone that's in the room here today. Let the praises, the high praises of God, it says in Psalm 149, let the high praises of God be in your mouth throughout this day and every day of your lives, especially this month. Let it be a month of praise. You know, the high praise of God is what causes you to be able to execute that sharp two-edged sword. First, you have the high praises of God. And then a sharp two-edged sword in your hand, smite through the forces of darkness. Execute the judgment that is written upon the devil and his cohorts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, unto him that has promised to give you the sharp two-edged sword if you praise the Lord with your mouth, Psalm 149, verse 6, unto him that I promise to give us peace. Peace, by all means. Jesus said in John 14, 27, my peace I leave with you. You know, not as the world liveth or giveth, but I give my peace unto you. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you, Lord, because the Lord itself said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, the God of peace himself, give you peace by all means, and the Lord will be with you all in the name of Jesus. May the Lord give you peace by all means in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We praise your name and we glorify you today in Jesus' name. We have prayed. Amen and amen.